free summer, free for all events. Our system is great, but that greatness is also at risk. Thank you.
Mayor, Madam, can I just make one comment? I would be remiss without just commenting about each of our final two speakers. The first, to thank Nick Hartig for his outstanding leadership at the foundation. And there's a way that all of us can support the foundation. It is part of our employee giving program, employee charitable giving program. So we all have the option of checking a box and supporting the foundation. But Nick, thank you for your tremendous support and leadership on this program. And Pamela, you said something which was, even by your standards of modesty, a bit of an understatement, when you said that Legacy was supporting Dawson Park's revitalization. I had the honor of being at PDC a couple weeks ago, testifying in support of moving forward with that project. And the truth is that the budget got valued engineered to a point where there weren't sufficient funds to pay for a children's fountain. And that park is at the heart of a historically African-American community. It's the place where Bobby Kennedy announced for president in Oregon. It has so much important history, and it would have been a shame not to have a children's water feature, particularly since it's adjacent to the great Randall's Children's Hospital. And that's where Legacy stepped up and made a six-figure contribution to make that possible. And so I just want to publicly, again, thank you, because we know how much work you do in the trenches, and thank your host organization for tremendous support for our kids in that community.
We're very excited about that. It's going to be great.
It will be known as the Legacy Children's Fountain at a time of Legacy celebrating their centennial.
Thank you both very much. Did anybody else want to testify on this item?
We have three people who signed up: Carl Shaw, Wade Varner, and Linda Robinson.
Come on up. I see Linda. Are the others here? You might get the last
word.
Like
it's just me. Okay. I'm Linda Robinson. I live in East Portland. I also serve on the Parks Board. I just wanted to make some acknowledgments, particularly of park staff, for some of the work that's been going on in East Portland relative to the Free for All program. I think I serve on three of those 47 organizing committees, one for parks, for movies, one for concerts, and one for the playgrounds. Two years ago, I was really pleased. I missed a meeting, and when I heard about what happened at the meeting, they were excited about the idea of they heard that the attendance was really low at some playground programs in East Portland, but most of the neighborhood activists who had been to this meeting didn't even know it was happening. So they approached Parks, and they said, can we work with you to pick sites and to publicize these events so that it'll be more successful and that we will get the services, you know, where they're needed. And they stepped up and they did it. And it was something that hadn't happened before, but I want to acknowledge Jeff Milkus and Kim Callum for the work they did coming out to East Portland, meeting with a group of us, some of whom are not very sophisticated in terms of working with city bureaucrats, and we worked hard to get permission and to find locations like church grounds, apartment complexes, school grounds, and also to take these playground programs into our undeveloped parks and to do it through this mobile playground. If you look at that schedule, more than two-thirds of all of the playground programs are in East Portland, but that's because we went out and raised the funds to rent additional vans and staff them and equip them and take them out to the neighborhoods and get permissions to do these on private property. So this was really important. They also worked very hard with us to revise the application process for young people who will be staffing these playground programs. You know, things like the application said DOB. Well, a lot of 18-year-olds applying for their first job have no idea that DOB stands for date of birth. So revising them, making them simpler so it wasn't the kind of application that you're filling out for a full-time, long-term city job, but this is a part-time summer job. And we were able to hire an additional 22 young people from East Portland last year, which was a real first, and we're hired some more this year. So we helped distribute it through youth groups that we know could identify high-caliber young people who would be good for these positions. So I'm really pleased that they worked with us. You know, we worked together to pull this together and to actually make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. That's a great example of community enthusiasm, partnering with park staff to make really good things happen. Do any of my colleagues have further comments since it's a presentation?
No, we have a resolution, a report, so we'll need a motion to adopt the report.
So then I'll, and second. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion? Then roll call and comments on the report.
Fish?
Commissioner Fritz, thank you for bringing this forward. This is my favorite presentation of the year because it's a chance for us to say thank you to a lot of wonderful people. And what is the magic for me of this program is that it has reached the heights that it has achieved because 100 small neighborhood businesses have joined arms with Fortune 500 companies like Nike and larger companies like Comcast and great healthcare systems like Legacy to make sure that almost 500,000 people in Portland every year have access to great music and film, swims, rock climbs, and for hungry children to get a meal. That's what Portland does best when we all link arms and we all contribute according to our ability and we create community. And I can't think of a more conspicuous example of this. Last year, sponsors contributed over $300,000 to make this program fly, and they did so in a year when everyone was hurting because of the economy. And I know, Commissioner Fritz, that next year this will not be any easier to raise that funds. But since someone just noted that we have four current or former parks commissioners on this body, and Steve, if you play your cards right, someday you too will be a parks commissioner.
Commissioner Saltzman's been waiting for years and years. I'm not going to hold my breath.
I think you can count on all of us here to support the efforts and the fundraising so that we can continue to support this great program. I just want to offer a couple more personal observations. A number of years ago, we almost lost the Washington Park Summer Festival. And there was a lot of press about it, and it actually coincided with me first being assigned the Bureau. And it turns out that there was a big public uproar about that prospect, and we learned, not unlike some other recent fights where we've seen the public weigh in loud and clear about their priorities and values, public said that this is important and we had to find a way to get it done. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the role of Gordon Sondland initially and then Daimler coming in and saving one important piece of the whole summer free-for-all. But over time, this has grown, and the most conspicuous area of growth has been serving hungry children. And I want to thank Emily York on my team and the Partners for Hunger Free Oregon and all the folks who helped us leverage the entitlement dollars out of Washington to fund these meals, and all of our friends in the local school districts who opened up their kitchens to cook these meals, and then this mayor and this council for adding additional general fund money and making it ongoing so that there's no gap in the summer between when kids get out of school and go back to school. And that really is a tremendous accomplishment. There's a couple of events this year that I hope to see Commissioner Fritz at. I'll be keeping a track of her attendance. And actually, she and I will be going to a number together. And we'll be looking, Linda, for a couple of events in East Portland where we can come out and celebrate with you and Arlene. But we'll also be attending a first, which is Thursday, August 1st in Washington Park, the first time that the Portland Gay Men's Chorus has ever performed in a public park. And they'll be joined by former Governor Barbara Roberts and by Commissioner Fritz, who I understand has quite a voice. So that's one you won't want to miss. I'll also be attending with Amanda the Portland Jazz Festival, which will be curating an event, and Northwest Dance later. And I think my son has already got his eye on a couple of films throughout the city. It's an extraordinary set of programs, and there are a lot of unsung heroes who really never get credit for this day. And our speakers were very gracious in mentioning some of them, but I would like to mention all of them if I could. And this is the honor roll of unsung heroes, and I'm going to leave one name for last. Judith Yeckel, David Chen, Aaron Byerly, Barrett Anderson, Joan Hallquist, Alicia Hammock, Mark Ross, Jennifer Yoakum, Mike Abate, Phil Lewis, Sue Glenn, the incomparable Nick Hartig, Jesse Bond, let me see if I missed anyone off of that list. And if I did, I apologize. Did I mention Aaron Byerly? Okay, yes. So, and there are others. These are the core group. But I've left one name for last. In all of our work, you hope that there is someone who is part of the team. You don't hope. It just happens this way. There's always one person that is just as passionate and just as committed as everyone else, but seems to, from time to time, go above and beyond. And there is one person in this group that I didn't mention who I believe time and time again has gone above and beyond and is the heart and soul of this program, and that's Jeff Milkus. Jeff, would you stand for a second? Jeff is the South Zone Manager, which is, I understand, a full-time job. But he is also really our point. And I can't tell you how many times he gets a phone call because there's some glitch in some part of the city that happens when you're running hundreds and hundreds of these programs. He's always responsive. He's always on the site. He's always with good cheer. I don't know how he keeps his marriage and his family life afloat because he works these unbelievable hours. Actually, you're bringing most of your family with you. I think that's the secret. Jeff is an example of a public servant who represents the best of our community, and he would never seek recognition for his work, and he would never ask to be singled out above everyone else because that's not his style. But today I want to say a special thank you to Jeff Milkus for everything that he has done to make Summer Free for All a great tradition. Thank you, Jeff. I'm proud to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you. This Summer Free for All really gives us, our citizens and our residents, the time to see Portland's parks shine. And you've done a great job here. I want to thank all of our private sponsors, including the foundation and the city council, for continuing to support this and expanding the summer lunch program coverage. So great work. Aye.
Novick?
Just a couple of things. I mean, thank you so much to all of our partners and to the parks employees for making this stuff happen. And I do want to note that although many of us in Portland have a healthy skepticism of big fat corporations, in addition to many, many local businesses who support Summer Free for All, we should note that there are some big fat corporations like Daimler and Pacific Power and Northwest Natural and Wells Fargo and Schnitzer Steel that are supportive. So we should note that occasionally big fat corporations do good things, and this is one of them. And I have to note that my favorite parks event, Trek in the Park, is coming to the end of its 5-year mission this summer. And to note that Trek in the Park, The Trouble with Tribbles, is going to start on August 3rd, Fridays and Saturdays, continue through August 25th. I will miss no opportunity to hype that event because it is such a totally wonderfully Portland event and extremely well done. And with that, I just want to say to the Summer Free for All, live long and prosper, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
I learned my American accent watching Star Trek in England, so that's a nice connection that I wasn't aware of. It is truly an honor to be the Parks Commissioner in a long line of Parks Commissioners, including the incomparable Mike Lindbergh, who we were just talking with earlier this week, that it's such a great assignment. And so thank you, Mayor Harris, for that. And thank you, Commissioner Fish, for all of your work setting up this program over the last 4 years. It has grown immeasurably and is valued. Portland's parks are our spaces. You know, you have your home, if you're lucky enough to have one, and you have your job and the things that are just yours. But the parks are our spaces, and they belong to all of us. They belong to the people who congregate there at the time, whether they come from the neighborhood or not. They are inspirational places that are well cared for by our park staff, and where this great program brings people together, gives people a date and a time to come together and celebrate our parks. So thank you, Jeff, for all of your work on this. Need to recognize that there are some neighborhoods in Portland that don't have a community park, and so I encourage those folks watching today to go to the nearest park and start organizing. You know, Arlene and Linda are living proof that if neighbors get together and ask, then quite often, if it's possible to get something done by patching together different funding sources and going out and asking, then we're going to be able to do it. But it often doesn't start without a neighborhood person saying, I want one of those. So please, let's look to that and work together. I'm very much looking forward to attending as many of the events as I can. I will not be climbing the rock wall, no matter what you pay me. I am very interested in the Legacy Kids Ambulance. I'm going to look out for that. I think that's a wonderful opportunity for kids to get the concept that it's not just shiny fire trucks that they could get into a career in paramedics, that they could become healthcare workers and others. So that's something that I will definitely be looking for. Need to note that it's free to participants. It's not free. It's dependent on taxpayers' funding and by donations from both individuals and businesses. The foundation is a great partner in helping us to raise those funds, and so is everybody who puts their dollar or their change into the bucket, which I will be helping to pass around at as many of the events as I can. So we're all in this together. We're all in our parks together this summer, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Thank you, everybody, for your partnership. Aye.
Hales.
You know, Churchill said, we shape our houses, and afterwards they shape us. And that was 60, 70 years ago. And since then, psychological researchers have confirmed what his instinct told him, which is that the places we live in shape our consciousness of who we are and how we relate to each other as people. And we've talked about that here today. And in fact, I think that's a profound effect that our park system has on us as citizens. I've spent a lot of time in the last 20 years in one capacity or another trying to explain Portland to other places. You know, and there's some things that are obvious. Yeah, we have a light rail system. It works great. Yes, we have an urban growth boundary. It works great. But I think actually one of the secret weapons in why we're great is our park system. And in fact, again, not just that it's beautiful and accessible and in most of our neighborhoods, more to come, but that we gather there as neighbors and that we think that's normal. And that's not true in most American cities, anywhere near to the extent that it's true here. And it isn't going to happen by passive management of those green spaces. That's an important piece of the work. We have to have those green spaces in good condition. But this active programming that brings us together in those shared spaces, I think, is not only great for kids, great for families, great for great entertainment, whether you're a Trekkie or a classical music fan or both, but it's also this profound knitting together that happens to us as a community because of that programming. So the fact that we as a city and that we have partners who get this and who are willing to invest in that shared enterprise, it's really important about who we are and how we work as a place and how we work as a community of people. And I think this presentation today and this program, I think, affirms that to us, makes that clear. It's really a priority for, obviously, everyone on this council. Look forward to seeing you all in the parks this summer as well. Aye. Good work. Thank you all. All right, we are to the regular agenda, item number 596.
Accept a grant in the amount of $220,000 and appropriate $26,000 for the fiscal year 2012-13 from the Oregon Department of Justice and the Oregon High Intensity Drug Trafficking Areas Program for Portland Interdiction Efforts.
We have a presentation on this or available for questions or both, so come on up. Yes, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning. Welcome. Good
morning, Mayor Hales. Excuse me. Commissioners, my name is Robert King. I'm a lieutenant with the Portland Police Bureau, and I'm assigned to the Drugs and Vice Division. I'd like the other two folks at the table to introduce themselves as well.
My name is Jose Gonzalez. I work for the Portland Police Bureau, and I'm assigned to the Metro Gang Task Force.
My name's Kathy Rosetto, and I work for the Drugs and Vice Division. I'm a senior admin specialist.
Mayor, with respect to the $220,000 grant that HIDA provides in funding to the Drugs and Vice Division, these funds are used largely for overtime and other approved expenses. but in a tough budget time, they allow Portland Police Bureau to conduct drug investigations that get at mid to upper level drug dealers. And in effect, we are dismantling what we're calling drug trafficking organizations. They deal largely in heroin and methamphetamine and cocaine. And so these resources, this $170,000 in particular, allows the Drugs and Vice Division, HIDA interdiction team, to be at our airports, at our train stations, at the bus stations, and essentially interdict very large amounts of drugs as well as large amounts of money. And that allows us to make arrests, conduct investigations, take really dangerous drugs off of our streets, and allows us to seize a certain amount of money that ultimately is used in forfeiture for the police bureau for a variety of different purposes like training and other items like equipment. So this money has been really critical to us being able to provide a level of service that we think really helps keep Portland safe. And we just are here today to urge you to accept this grant so that we can continue to do this important work.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. This is the first time I've ever been in front of the City Council. So
really?
Well, it's excited.
It's about time.
Thanks. For the Metro Gang Task Force, this grant helps us to do investigations on the shootings that we have in the city of Portland and basically helps us to prevent those shootings. We feel that this grant helps the officers and the investigators to be up there, provide information, help the community, and it's an overall and a great assistance for us.
Any additional comments? I just want to add my comment. I mean, it may be obvious, but it should be stated that drug deals don't happen on a shift cycle. And so this use of overtime dollars, we're very concerned about the total cost of overtime in the police bureau, as we should be. But this is one of those situations where there's no way but for keeping people on the job at that location to really finish dealing with a criminal situation. And overtime is a critical tool in being able to do that. These things don't happen on a schedule. They take time and surveillance, and that's exactly why this flexibility to be able to do the work this way seems to me smart. So I'm glad that we're doing it this way.
Thank you, Mayor.
Are there questions for the team from the council? Good. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Anyone else
Mayor.
Signed up
Thank
to
you.
Testify on this item?
Oh, we have a Johnny Fever, I believe it's the last name.
Still here? If not, then this is an emergency ordinance, and we'll take a roll call.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Thank you very much. Aye. Okay. 597.
Authorized price agreements with DRW LLC and CMTS LLC to provide construction, inspection, and engineering support services for a five-year contract total not to exceed $3,500,000 each.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In response to interest raised by City Council at the March 20th Council meeting, the request for proposals for construction, inspection, and engineering support services was modified to include corporate responsibility evaluation criteria. This criteria item allocated RFP points to MWESB state certification as a prime and or subcontractor, addresses a proposer's workforce diversity and community involvement efforts and sustainability business practices. On April 16th, the city received six proposals. The proposals were reviewed, evaluated, and scored by a five-person evaluation committee that included a representative from the Minority Evaluator Program. DRW LLC and CMTS LLC were responsive to all the RFP requirements and received the highest evaluation scores. In addition to including the corporate responsibility criteria, Procurement Services and the Portland Bureau of Transportation also arranged to broaden the amount of contracts that would be awarded for these services to two contracts rather than one, resulting in one contract being awarded to DRW, a state-certified emerging small business. I am recommending that Council authorize five-year price agreements to DRW LLC and CMTS LLC for not to exceed amount of $3,500,000 each. At this point, I will turn it back over to City Council if you have any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Good work. Thank you, Beth. And this is a report, so we need to adopt the report. Is that correct? Because it's a procurement report, so a motion, please, to adopt the report.
We'll accept.
Second.
And there was no one else to testify, right?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet.
Okay. Then roll call on adopting the report.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you. Aye.
Hales?
Thanks, Christine. Thank you very much. Aye. Okay. Item 598.
Adopt the City of Portland Civil Rights Title VI Plan.
Second reading and roll call.
Fish.
We had a chance last week to make comments about this work. I want to thank Shoshana Oppenheim. And I want to just reiterate the concern that I expressed last week, which is this is a very ambitious plan with broad ranging implications. And I am concerned that it is significantly underfunded. And so we'll be tracking this to make sure that there are adequate resources to handle both the outreach and the implementation phase and also the complaint adjudication portion of this. And frankly, when I heard Shoshana talk about how she was going to divide up her time, you know, I think short of cloning herself, I think she's going to have a very hard time meeting the basic requirements of this plan. When we adopt a plan, I think it's important that we actually implement it. And this one, again, is very ambitious, far-reaching. So I look forward in the within the next 6 months to get an update to see whether, in fact, she has the tools and the resources she needs to implement it. Otherwise, I think it's an outstanding piece of work, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thanks to everyone who's involved. I share Commissioner Fish's concerns and also recognize that every bureau is responsible now for preparing a Title VI plan, and so it's incumbent on each of us to work with our staff to do that. There will need to be a well-coordinated implementation strategy, and the ADA coordinators will need to get the support and training that they need. So I'm, like Commissioner Fish, hopeful and also somewhat daunted by the task ahead of us, because indeed there is much still to do. And I appreciate the work of the Office of Equity and Human Rights in partnering with the Bureau of Human Resources to get this work done. Aye.
Hales.
Well done. Aye.
Mayor, before you gavel, will you yield for one moment?
Sure.
Shoshana is here, and I just want to be absolutely clear on something, because there may be some confusion about whether bureaus are, in fact, under this plan, required to do Title VI plans. And I just want the record to be
that?
Clear.
Please.
Can we suspend the rules on that?
Suspend the rules, and we'll take your clarification of that, and then we'll complete the item.
Sure. The idea was that this is a citywide plan. So this plan supplements any responsibilities for bureaus to do additional work or developing their own plan. This will be the citywide plan, and there is work for outlined in the plan for the bureau directors, the liaisons, and myself to do outlined in the plan, but it is not expected that each bureau will develop their own plan.
Right. So that each bureau is going to implement the plan.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
And that gets done in a different way in each bureau. So I appreciate the clarification.
Absolutely.
But it's not like we've just got this, we're done.
Absolutely.
Each bureau needs to figure out, what does this mean for my bureau? How do I do my community outreach and all the accessibility that's called for?
Absolutely. I just didn't want you to think that each bureau was going to have to then bring forward their own Title VI plan.
And you'll be reporting back to the council how often, do you suspect, over the course of the year?
In the plan, we outlined a triennial review that where it would come to council, but I'm available to brief the council as needed.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. And with that clarification, we've adopted the report. Now, item 599, please.
Amend intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation to change the completion date for pedestrian safety improvements at the intersection of Northwest NATO Parkway and Flanders Street.
Novick, any comments?
Mr. Newlands, would you care to just take just a brief summary?
Sure. Rich Newlands. I'm with the Bureau of Transportation Project Management Division. This is in relation to an intergovernmental agreement we have with the state of Oregon, a grant to fund pedestrian improvements at the intersection of Northwest NATO Parkway and Flanders Road. When we originally applied for the grant, we were operating under one set of rules from the state's Railroad Crossing Division, which had changed since, which has made this project much, much more complicated, hence why we're extending the termination of the IGA.
And could you just elaborate that on a little bit? I mean, it isn't an issue of whether ODOT will allow us to make certain improvements within...
Ultimately, that is a question, as well as the overall project budget, to account for changes to a railroad crossing that may well be required. So it's again, a much more complicated project than we originally envisioned.
So we just need more time to...
Yes, to work through the issues, and now the railroad's involved, and you can imagine how that...
Always speeds things up. Yeah.
It makes you happy. Right.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks.
Any other questions for Rich? Thanks. And this, anyone else sign up to testify?
I didn't have a sign up sheet.
And that's an emergency ordinance. So let's take a roll call.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Yeah, this is complicated stuff. I recall a previous PBOT director who needed to take, I believe, 6 trips to Omaha in order to negotiate with the railroad, just putting a pedestrian walkway not far from here across the bridge. So whenever you get the state, the city, and the railroads together, it's complicated. Thank you. Aye. 600.
Authorize at-grade crossing agreements with Union Pacific Railroad Company to utilize railroad right-of-way for new roadway and sidewalk crossings at Southeast 8th Avenue, Southeast 11th Avenue, and Southeast 12th Avenue for the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Transit Project.
There's be railroad day around here.
Indeed.
Good morning. I'm Jean Seneschal Biggs. I'm a project manager with Bureau of Transportation. We're here today to ask Council to authorize these at-grade crossing agreements with the Union Pacific. These are specific to 3 crossings in Southeast Portland at Southeast 8th, Southeast 11th, and Southeast 12th between Division Street and Powell Boulevard. The Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail is going to be running parallel to the Union Pacific tracks at these locations. And so to build the light rail, we need to modify these intersections. We've developed a design in partnership with TriMet and the UP. And the improvements will include new crossing gates, new traffic signals, new roadway pavement, signage, and sidewalks. And the result of that will have a much safer set of crossings at these locations for pedestrians, cyclists, motorists. But to build these, PDOT actually doesn't have adequate right-of-way at these locations to build everything. So these agreements actually authorize our use of the Union Pacific right-of-way for these purposes. And they also address our future maintenance obligations between us and the railroad and TriMet. The construction of the crossings begins July 15th. TriMet's contractor and Union Pacific crews are going to be working side by side building these improvements. So I'm here today if you have any questions.
So what does it mean to remove an at-grade crossing? And what's the alternative for...
The agreements also refer to existing crossings that we are closing. Mm-hmm. It means removing those improvements. So just east of where 8th and Division Street are is 9th and Division Place. It's at sort of the corner of the Ford building. Those are crossings that we've decided to close because just wanting to make safer crossings there now that we'll have light rail as well as the freight track. So it just means removing the improvements that are there, the gates, the crossing panels, the concrete panels that are between the railroad tracks, any signage, things like that.
So we're
rebuilding the sidewalks there completely. So that
street will not cross?
Won't go through. There won't be a street through there anymore at Division Place and 9th.
There won't be a street that intersects with the rail.
Correct.
Okay. So we will have less total crossings in that area once all this is done? Is that how it works
yeah,
out?
So at 9th and Division Place, that crossing's being removed.
Yeah.
It's for safety. The other piece we're getting out of it is that we'll be able to move forward with a quiet zone application because of all these improvements and the gates and all of the new signage, some median islands that we're putting in, and that will allow the freight engineers to not have to sound their horns as they go through this part of Southeast Portland. So that's something that the neighborhood's really been looking forward to.
So if you're heading eastbound on Division Street and you want to get over to Powell Boulevard, how do you do that?
You can turn right at 8th or right at 11th and head south to Powell.
Okay.
Just not 9th anymore, 9th yeah. place anymore.
Okay. Dan, are you concerned about getting to the Baghdad Theater?
No, I just, I've been watching what's going on over there. I'm just trying to
It's exciting.
Figure it all out.
We have a lot of work coming up this summer.
Okay. Other questions for Gene?
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you. Anyone else signed up on this?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
And this is an emergency ordinance. Roll call, please.
Fish?
Well, I would note, Commissioner Novick, that a lot of people in the media are looking for sort of signs of where you're going to be tilting as the new transportation commissioner. And I think testimony here was that this improves the safety of pedestrians, cyclists, and motorists. We'll have to wait another day to find out where your priorities lie. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your work. I know the community is going to be very happy about the quiet zone. Aye.
Hills.
Oh, yeah. Amen to that. Extra bravos for getting us in a position for more quiet zones. That's a lot of them still to work on, but this will be a nice improvement. Aye. Thank you. 601.
Increased contract with Harper Hauf Peterson Regellis by $80,000 and extend termination date to June 30, 2014 to complete the Southwest Multnomah Boulevard Bike Pedestrian Improvement Project.
Back. Mr. Nolens, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be back. This is another contract amendment. This is in relation to our flexible services contract we have for design engineering services. The project in question is, again, the Southwest Multnomah Bike Ped Project, which we're working in partnership with the Bureau of Environmental Services to provide sidewalk and bicycle improvements. We're deep into design, and the project scope expanded as the Bureau of Environmental Services wanted us to add some more work of theirs to the overall project, which means we need to expand our scope of work and therefore the end date and the dollar amount of the contract with Harper Hauf to complete the work. It makes the most sense not to change our design engineering firm at this point in time.
Similar situation on the next item. Should the Civil Works?
I'm not aware of that. But
okay, sorry.
Okay. Good. So, in other words, this is yet another favor that PBOT is doing for Commissioner Fish.
Correct.
And that's Environmental Services paying for it.
Yeah, I think they're paying for it.
Or I should say, another example of the unique collaboration between the commissioners and their enterprise bureaus. Okay. Their infrastructure bureaus.
Great. Thanks, Rich. Thanks. No one signed up on this?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet.
Then a roll call on the emergency ordinance.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, it's particularly good when our bureaus can work together to do a bunch of things all at once to minimize disruption to the neighborhood, and I know this project is going to be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Aye.
Hales?
It's a nice level potential bikeway that now will maybe be a lot safer, so that's great.
We're very excited about the project.
Thank you. Aye. Okay, 602.
Amend contract with Civil Works Northwest, Inc. for change order number 5 in the amount of $163,963, including contingency for construction of the Southwest 11th Avenue project from Southwest Gibbs Street to Southwest Gaines Street.
Hello, Andrew. Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor Hales. Andrew Abbey, project manager for the Southwest 11th Avenue project. Carla, could we switch over to the presentation over here? While Carla is setting that up, I wanted to walk council through 5 technical amendments on the advice of the Auditor's Office and Procurement Services. I'm going to just enumerate these here. Thank you, Carla. I have 2 of the 5 amendments written down here in this memo that Carla is passing out. Directive A, we're amending Chief Procurement Officer and Auditor to be City Engineer to execute the change order. The second one is to change on Directive B, Chief Procurement Officer to Mayor. Those are the two that are written down. The other amendment that I'm respectfully requesting, finding number four, we want to change the contract number identified ending in 2862. We want to change that to 2877. Finding number six, we want to increase the amount starting with $36,000 to $41,000. And then the final amendment, finding number 11, we want to decrease the amount starting with $47,000 and reduce that to $42,000. So if...
Move the amendments.
Second.
Any discussion on the amendments? Anyone to testify? Roll call on adopting the amendments as described and provided.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, and now to the project itself.
Thank you very much, Mayor Hales. The amendment that you just adopted keep the contract amount unchanged. So switching to this presentation here, just a little bit of a complicated project here. When we started the Southwest 11th Avenue project and kicked it off in the summer of 2010, the purpose of the project was to complete a sidewalk connection from Gibbs to Gaines on Southwest 11th Avenue. The new sidewalk connection is very close to OHSU, which is the largest employer in the city of Portland and the fourth largest employer in the state of Oregon. When we kicked off the project in 2010, we had an estimate of $1,173,000 for this project. And as of yesterday, we had spent $377,000. So we are very significantly below budget. The issue that we had was, as you know, PBOT has been going through some very severe budget reductions in the past couple of years. And this project was among many projects funded with general transportation revenues that had its funding cut. And when we went out to bid for this project, despite the project being under budget, we only bid out what we could afford with the available funds at that time in the budget. And we had no paving budget to speak of to backfill the reductions on this project. So now that we have paving dollars available to backfill the project, rather than going out for a separate solicitation and waiting 3 or 4 years to save up the money to complete the project, we have the contractors starting next week to do the paving work. Most of the sidewalk work is complete, and I'll show you that in a minute. But what we'd like to do is just button up the whole job, be done with it, and only disrupt the neighborhood once. So if you look at the map on the presentation there, the sidewalks that we already planned for are shown in pink, and the new sidewalk that we want to add as part of change order number 5 is shown on the dashed red line. Similarly, the paving budget, where the bulk of the dollars are, where the bulk of the dollars are, is shown in blue, but the additional paving area that we want to add is shown in green. So here's a picture of what the street looked like before we started. You can see that the parking is pretty chaotic there. Pedestrians have to walk out in the street. Took a lot of resources of our parking operations folks to kind of police the chaotic parking up in the area. This next slide is a picture of the street that I didn't take, but one of the neighborhood residents who was advocating for sidewalks took and put that together for us. But it shows how the pedestrians are forced out behind the parked cars, between the parked cars and the bus going down the street. And by the way, there's a bus going down the street every 15 minutes, every day of the year. It's one of TriMet's frequent service routes. And then the last slide here just shows you on the left, you can see the new sidewalks that we've already built, and we're planning to build more if you approve this change order today. The slide over on the right shows the family walking down the newly constructed sidewalk, and if you look, you can see the existing pavement there. It's all cracked and alligatored, and that pavement's in bad condition. I really want to emphasize that's not pavement the contractor put there. It's been around for decades. And starting next week, that pavement will go away and it'll be reconstructed to proper city standards. When we design this project, we were assuming 9 inches of asphaltic concrete, which people know better as blacktop. When we opened up the road, we found as little as 4 inches of asphaltic concrete. So we found less than half in certain locations than what we were expecting. And then similarly, the base layer, the aggregate base, we specified 7 inches in the plans, but we found as little as 3 inches. So the road there that has all those TriMet buses going over it is much, much thinner than what we anticipated when we opened up the road. And this project is really a threefer because we're adding the new sidewalks, we're reconstructing the pavement so that it gets rid of a liability for maintenance operation. And then thirdly, when we opened up the road, we found some sanitary sewer laterals that were in extremely poor condition, and arguably if they were to have leaked, BES would have had to go in and replace them, and they probably would have wound up reconstructing the entire road on their own in the process of reconstructing them. So, and I should also add, we found some leaking oil tanks in the right-of-way, which are now gone. So this has kind of been a bit of a nightmare project in terms of what we found, but we are significantly under budget, and we'd like to button it up and not disrupt the residents more than once. So on a final note, I was very pleased when I got this project assignment. I'm a former Homestead resident. When I lived in Homestead, I didn't have any sidewalks to walk on when I went to the bus. So it's been very gratifying on a personal level to work on this project. So we do have Anton Vetterlein, who does live in Homestead and is a member of the Homestead Neighborhood Association. And he's here to talk to you a little bit about this project. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you, Andrew. Welcome, Anton.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and commissioners. Anton Vetterlein, representing the Homestead Neighborhood Association. The Homestead Neighborhood Association actually been working on trying to get sidewalks up there since 2006. We put together a committee and started working on that and eventually got something that you all approved, a plan that then PDOT took over. The Markham Hill plan called for sidewalks on 11th and other streets near OHSU, but no funding was identified. And the creation of a small parking meter district on the hill became the funding opportunity. And as Andrew had mentioned, we had originally planned to do all of 11th in one project, but because of the budgetary issues, that got split into two phases. So we're happy to return to the original intention of having sidewalks on both sides of 11th Avenue for its full three-block length. 11th Avenue is the only north-south street that is a through street in that part of the neighborhood, the residential non-OHSU part of the neighborhood. And as Andrew said, it is a TriMet bus route number 8 frequent service. There's a bus running up there every 15 minutes for over 18 hours of the day. And, of course, because of the proximity to OHSU and the VA Medical Center, it's a very constrained and competitive parking environment with cars parked sort of willy-nilly, partly on private property, partly in the right-of-way. And, of course, the loser in that equation is the pedestrian who's forced out into the street. And as you can see from some of those pictures, it's a pretty narrow one, you know, between some of those parked cars with the traffic going through there. So this creates a much better pedestrian environment, which that will bring Commissioner Novick down firmly on the side of pedestrians, I hope, and at the expense perhaps of some of the people who like to park up there. And it'll just connect the neighborhood together in a way that we haven't had before. There are many apartments in that area, kind of low to medium density apartments. They're occupied by many students and employees that work at OHSU and the VA Medical Center. It's really a pedestrian district in terms of how it functions. There's people walking all over there. I think the Homestead neighborhood, if you look at the statistics, we have a very high level of pedestrian, commuter because of commuting because of that proximity to the hospitals there. The zoning in Markham Village could support much higher densities. There's R1 and CM, mixed commercial zoning, along 11th Avenue and storefront commercial nearby. and the neighborhood would like to see higher density in there. We'd like to see more development. We'd like to see more neighborhood supporting commercial retail businesses because it would hopefully take some of the pressure off the need to drive up to the hill if people who work and go to school at OHSU could live up there, and then the neighborhood could have some businesses that we wouldn't have to drive off the hill to go to. But that potential has been largely untapped since we upzoned the area as part of the Southwest Community Plan process about 15 years ago. So hopefully these sidewalks will help kind of catalyze development, make it, you know, a more attractive environment for that sort of thing. That's all I have. I urge you to vote for that.
Thank you. Thanks. Any questions for either of these guys?
Just tell me again, where is the extra money coming from?
We had initially budgeted this project only with parking meter revenue, and that only dribbles in at the allocation for this project only dribbles in at $71,250 per year. So the arrangement that we've made internally within PBOT, subject to council approval, is we're going to take a very small slice of the paving money that council has approved for next fiscal year. We're going to backfill the budget with that. And then we will use the parking meter revenue money in the outlying years that we otherwise would have tried to save up to come back and do another contract in 3 or 4 years. We're just going to essentially repay the paving budget. So maintenance gets a new street that involves a lot less maintenance, and then we don't have to worry about inflation. We lock in the bid prices, et cetera. I might add, when we bid the contract, we built 55% of the planned pavement area and 52% of the planned sidewalk area. So you're cranking it up from a little over half to all the way with approving this change order.
Thanks very much. And no one else to testify, right?
No one else signed up.
Emergency ordinance. Let's take a roll call.
Fish.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Oh, hi.
Saltzman.
Yeah, sounds very exciting. Hi.
Novick.
Thank you very much. I mean, this obviously, we need to do work like this all over the city. It's exciting that it's this instance, because of favorable bid results, we're able to do more than we expected. Aye.
Fritz.
And Tom, thank you for taking the time to be here and for your ongoing stewardship of the neighborhood. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, great project and a great partnership with a neighborhood that's advocated for a long time to try to make itself more urban and in ways that you just described, Anton, and to work smarter like this and get it all done. That's great work. Really like it. Thank you. Aye. Okay, one more item. Second reading, number 603.
Assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance.
Roll call.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. And we're recessed until 2 p.m. That's a nice piece of work up there.